Greyhound racing is a commonly discussed and protested topic, with many organisations advocating for better welfare and treatment of greyhounds. One organisation in particular that is leading the charge is Free the Hounds, a not-for-profit dedicated to preventing harm and inhumane treatment of greyhounds and informing the public about racing. To tell us more about the organisation and what is currently being done in the world of greyhound advocacy, we're joined by President of Free the Hounds, Melissa Harrison. Thanks so much for joining me on The Record this morning.
Hi Fiona, thanks so much for having us on. It's great to get this awareness out there.
So could you tell us a little bit about what Free the Hounds is?
Okay, so as you mentioned, we're an advocacy group and our aim is to raise awareness with the problems of racing greyhounds. We have market stalls that we regularly attend and just to get awareness that actually it's still going on in WA. Many people seem to think that it doesn't go on here anymore, but racing occurs every single day of the week across two tracks here. We've currently got an e-petition going. It's the first time in Western Australia that e-petitions have been allowed. So we're asking everybody to head to our website to sign that, or you can go to the WA government website and sign it there as well. We've done this before. We've put in petitions almost every year, handwritten ones. But last year we had the most ever, which was 11,500, but we were told that it wasn't really indicative of what the public felt about ending racing. So this year we're hoping to get a lot more than that and really let the Labor government know that people have had enough of greyhound racing here.
An 11,500 signatures is a massive amount. I'm really excited that you guys have gotten so much positive feedback and support with greyhound advocacy. And the organisation has been around for a little bit. It launched in 2015. Can you tell us about how it came about?
Yeah, that was by our former president, Alana, and she did an amazing job. She used to work in Greyhound Rescue for Greyhound Adoptions WA, another marvellous rescue group. And she came across her boy, Max, that she just fell in love with, and she promised him that she was going to try and end it, that it just wasn't right. She'd seen just too much cruelty across the years that she'd helped. So it just started as a Facebook group mainly to raise awareness. And then she was joined by a few other volunteers and then it grew from there. We still have Joe, who's in our group now from the original team. And Alana gives us a lot of still expert advice and opinions and help when we need it.
It's good to see that the people who started the organisation still have a bit of a hand in it. And like you said, you're learning from the people who started.
Absolutely. And because anything to do with advocacy and welfare can be really draining emotionally, it's hard to get up every day and continue to fight against something, particularly that's run by the government and endorsed by the government. And you can't kind of understand why they're accepting this level of cruelty to animals, especially dogs. I know people say to us all the time, oh, but what about the thoroughbreds? That's a whole separate issue. There's only 8 people participating in greyhound racing that actually claim this is an income or that it's the form of their income. The rest of them, about 1,000 people, are just hobbyists. So we can't understand why all these greyhounds are being damaged and hurt and so much money is going into something that really is only supporting 8 people. And everybody else involved in the West Australian Greyhound Racing Association, everybody at Racing and Wagering WA, they're all employed by the government. At the end of the day, they all sit under Minister Butti. They're all part of the government. So they can easily be restructured or moved across to other areas. And the sale of the TAB is about to come up as well. And simulated racing comes out then. So greyhounds can be raced on in simulated racing, in pubs, TAB pubs, in TAB outlets. There really is no need to run greyhound racing anymore.
And the organisation's purpose is mostly to prevent the harm and inhumane treatment of greyhounds. Can you tell us a bit about the work that you do towards this?
It's mainly looking at the first things we start off with is the steward reports and looking at those every day, seeing what injuries are occurring. We track those injuries, each and every one of them, and then we discuss it with politicians. We have meetings regularly. I'm going to see the legalised cannabis party later on today. We've got the Greens. Brad Pettit is our facilitator on this petition now. We've got AJP. We just go and speak to them and raise awareness of what happens, what injuries occur with these dogs. We share stuff across the nation to Coalition of Protection of Greyhounds as well. We share data. We speak to veterinary surgeons, all sorts of things. We've done so many freedom of information requests. All the information that we're getting is from their own their resources themselves, racing and wagering. So everything we're looking at is their data. It's just trying to make it in a way that the public can understand and read it.
You're listening to On The Record. We're joined by Melissa Harrison and we're discussing the greyhound advocacy organisation called Free The Hounds. Now, another aspect of the organisation, and you just touched on it there, is informing the public about greyhound racing. Why is it important to keep the public informed on what's happening when it comes to greyhound racing?
Because I think, as I said earlier, the public aren't even aware that this is still a thing in WA. You know, oh, but didn't we ban it? No, the only state the only place is the ACT where it's been banned. New South Wales, sadly, was overturned. And Australia has the most tracks anywhere in the world. So it's government-endorsed animal cruelty. That's really all it boils down to. We have more pet greyhounds in public now than what we do racing greyhounds. So, I mean, it's no different nowadays, really, to putting any other dog on the course and saying run. And the tracks that we use here as well, the round tracks, or anywhere for that matter, there's only a few straight tracks, but the dogs are not meant to run on those curves, on those bends. Probably 98% of the major injuries that happen to these dogs is with their right back leg because of the turn as they go around the curve. That's only a human element. We are the ones that want them to race on that style track so we can see the start of the race and the finish of the race and stay in our seats. These dogs are not meant to run like that. They love to run, I have no doubt, but racing, that's just purely a human format that we want so we can gamble on it.
That's so interesting what you were saying about Australia having the most greyhound racing tracks and also about them running in a circle. I hadn't thought about the impact of running in that oval shape would have on their back legs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's quite, because that's where the load bearing goes as they're trying to get around the curves. And because of where the starting boxes, where they come out of, where they're aligned to, they all pile up then because they all move to the inside of the rail to where the lure is, which is the thing they chase around the track. So they all sort of head into the centre of the track, bunch up, because there's so many of them in the race. There's eight dogs. They're all trying to get to the lure first. And then as they're doing that, they're going around a bend, which is catastrophic for them. We're up seven major injuries to today from the same time last year. They're looking at upgrading the Mandra track at the moment, but due to building hold-ups, it won't start until next year. But Mandra doesn't have as many incidences as Cannington does. Cannington has 67% of the injuries.
Oh, wow.
They're looking at doing that track up. That's probably because that track is leased, so they don't want to put the money into infrastructure that they don't own. Mandra, on the other hand, they own that land and that those amenities there. So it's, you know, they get more out of it for their money, but it's not helping the greyhounds. And at the beginning of last month, Northern Track came back online after over 2 years off, and I think it was race 5 or race 6, a dog died, so they had to call the race off, and that had just been upgraded by them. So clearly that whatever they did to Northern didn't work. They've said that there was a problem with the lure, but it wasn't the lure that killed the dog. It was the catching pen gate. So we have no faith in what they might or might not do at Mandra either, and when it's Cannington that they should be concentrating on.
So since the creation of Free the Hounds in 2015 to now, how has the treatment and awareness of greyhounds changed?
I believe that we've had there's been a big shift. I think racing and wagering are definitely more aware that there is somebody out there looking at them. One thing that I definitely Free the Hounds would take credit for is helping push the Free the Snoot law, which was greyhounds had to wear muzzles up until December last year. It was finally gotten over the line with the puppy farming bill. So now in WA, greyhounds no longer have to wear muzzles out in public. that was something that dated back to the 70s, where everybody thought greyhounds were vicious creatures that needed to be muzzled because they were going to go and chase, you know, rabbits and everything that they saw. But it's only the way that they're trained, and not all of them are racers. They don't, you know, intrinsically it's not in them. Some are great racers, some aren't, but they still make them race because they get paid for it. So that was definitely a big gain for us. And the other thing I think is we've helped decrease the number of dogs that are euthanized, because we are checking each dog at the end of the financial year, what happened to them, trying to get out of Freedom of Information how they died or why they died. So I think they just know that Freedom Hounds are watching them now, that there's somebody there that's going to hold them accountable.
This morning we've been talking all about Free the Hounds and the amazing work that the organisation has been doing for greyhound advocacy across WA. But just to end off, what is the organisation currently working on, and how can those listening get involved?
Okay, our major thing until the 12th of September is our e-petition. So we would really love any person in the public that feels that racing greyhounds is just not the right thing to be doing anymore, is head to our website or any of our socials and you can find a link to it. It's at freethehounds.com.au. Alternatively, you can go directly to the WA Parliament website and you'll find it in a drop down there in how to get involved, and e-petitions are under there. So you could sign it. That is our number one thing. Children from 10 years of age can. So high school kids, university students, they're going to be the change that this state needs, because it's going to be in their hands soon, and we'd really encourage them to end it.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for joining me on The Record this morning and telling us all about the fabulous work that your organisation is doing for greyhounds.
Thank you so much for your time, Fiona.
You're most welcome. That was Melissa Harrison, president of Free the Hounds, a not-for-profit organisation advocacy group who are passionate about greyhound welfare, doing some amazing things. Like she was saying, they were one of the major forces behind the legislation that came in end of last year, which allows pet greyhounds not having to wear muzzles when they're out in the public. Lots of amazing work.